Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bob Cinch, our good friend at Pierpont Securities. Bob, a lot going on in the currency worlds because we've seen a reversal lately in currency trends. The euro getting, I believe the British term would be gobsmacked last week by news that consumer inflation is running at just 0.7% year over year in the eurozone. And I didn't realize until yesterday, I'm going to talk about it on Bloomberg TV later today, that in the United States, if you use the same kind of measurement, the harmonized international measurement, it's only 0.8% in the United States. We're beginning to see a disinflationary trend take hold around the world.
There is there's definitely a whiff of disinflation again, I think, taking hold globally. You know, you indicated the measures of CPI. You look at commodity prices, a broad-based CRB index down at a couple-year highs, and a lot of that is driven actually by lower food prices, which is particularly good for emerging economies. We're seeing industrial commodity prices well-behaved. Energy prices obviously coming back off a little bit. So yeah, it does look as though inflation is certainly not a concern on the upside anywhere. And you know, as you indicated, a lot of analysts looking at the ECB and their measures of inflation and suggesting they may actually ease policy at their meeting later this week.
Are you willing to bet on them easing policy at this point, or is that just wishful thinking given the divisions among the various countries in the eurozone?
You know, the ECB is not prone to surprises, and so I think a move at the meeting this week would be a bit of a surprise given their recent rhetoric. However, they could set the stage for some easing of policy at their December meeting. You know, it's an interesting time for the ECB. They're encouraged on the one hand by the economy performing a little bit better across the region. On the other hand, you know, as we discussed, the inflation numbers are very low and falling further below their target range. So I think they're pretty comfortable for now, but certainly I think will open up the potential for a policy easing at the December meeting when they conclude their meeting this week.
So what happens in currency trade? I mean, the euro is not only going down now against the dollar ever since the inflation report, but it's been really hit against the euro.
Yeah, the euro is sort of broad based, getting some pressure here. It's off against the yen, it's off against the dollar, it's off against the British pound sterling, where you noted the strong improvement in the services sector there. So, you know, I think in general, rather than this being a dollar move, this really is a euro move, and it's a weaker euro pretty much across the board.
Well, let me ask who benefits. I was looking at the list of. When we talked about the harmonized international consumer price index, puts everything on the sort of the same footing. We were at 0.8%. The eurozone 0.7%. Switzerland's at 0.2%. There is just kind of no pressure on currencies from inflation here. They're all going to be importing deflation, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what this really shows is that monetary policy around the world is probably going to stay accommodative for a good deal longer. You know, I think earlier this year, as economic momentum began to pick up, you know, surprising momentum in the UK, a little bit better momentum in the eurozone than maybe had been expected. Looks like Chinese growth is stabilizing, maybe accelerating a bit into year end. There was some concern that all that monetary accommodation might turn into higher inflation. Now that you're seeing the readings coming down, but I think more importantly, some of the leading indicators like commodity prices and wages remaining well restrained, that takes a lot of pressure off on the inflation side.
Okay, it takes pressure off the inflation side. Whether it's Ken Rogoff at Harvard or it's numerous others, Bob Cinch, within your strategy of what these markets are doing and what it means for markets, it's got to be about the real economy. Is inflation coming down a good thing, or is it indicative of a slowdown in real or nominal GDP?
You know, it doesn't look like there's a slowing globally. You know, obviously the U.S. has come in a little bit weaker than people might have expected. I think the U.K. and the Eurozone probably doing a little bit better. China, as I said, stabilizing and maybe improving a little bit. You know, one thing I think it does do is it allows more policy flexibility in that part of the world where we need growth leadership, and that is the emerging world. You know, particularly this decline in food prices is going to be very important for consumers and policymakers in the emerging market countries where food is a bigger part of their consumer basket. And lower food prices filter through into greater policy flexibility. And I think that's important because that's where we need the growth, the real growth leadership to come from, is more the emerging world than the developed world.
Now, there are two countries that are showing some signs of both nominal growth and consumer price inflation, the UK and Japan. Japan finally seems to be getting some traction on inflation. Is it something that is sustainable? I'll mention 1.4% their year-over-year HICP rate.
Yeah, but if you take a look at the core numbers in Japan, they're still running around zero. Look, I'm not a believer in the reflation story in Japan. I think they're trying, but it's been said by a number of central bankers over the years, I've never seen a country devalue itself into prosperity. And that's really what the Japanese are doing here. I think that what we're seeing on the headline inflation rate is simply a reflection of the weaker yen, you know, the efforts to pump up the monetary base in Japan. It's weakened the currency. That's increased import prices, particularly energy prices. I don't think that's a way to boost your economy. So I'm not a buyer of that. And I think if you look at the core numbers in Japan, they're still running at virtually zero.
Bob Cinch, I just sent out a Euro chart going back to 1975. That was a few years ago. You were starting out. On the Euro, the average Euro was 118 over, what is that, 35, make it 38 years, whatever that number is. 118, very close to the initiation of the Euro of 116. We have Deutsche Mark before that. Is the Euro overvalued now?
Yeah, I think it is. It has been. Kind of surprising that it stayed at these levels. And I think it shows up in broader competitiveness throughout the Eurozone. But, you know, one of the issues is that in the aggregate, they don't run a current account deficit. They run a current account surplus, a source of a good deal of controversy these days, because a lot of that surplus, obviously, is concentrated in Germany. But if you're running a current account surplus, and you're not getting capital outflows, your currency is going to stay relatively strong. And I think that's what we continue to see in the Eurozone. And it's a weight on their economy.
United Kingdom's the Bank of England meets this week as well. What does Mark Carney do?
I don't think much. You know, there was an expectation when he relocated from Canada to the UK that he would try to coalesce the Monetary Policy Committee around some further easing and more aggressive stance on policy. I think you'd have to put the UK is at the top of the list of surprising economic performance this year. The economy has done much better than expected, particularly in the face of tightening fiscal policy. And I think part of that CPI measure are some tax changes which are showing up as price increases. But I think in general, the economy is performing well. Inflation is not that low. I think the Bank of England is just stuck on hold.
Can you bring that enthusiasm over to Europe? Alberto Gallo wrote this morning at RBS with that enthusiasm. Do you just carry over the UK recovery to Europe and then even to the United States?
You know, I don't think the UK is big enough anymore to be a driver. I think a lot of what the UK has been benefiting from is foreign capital still flowing into the UK. You know, you're seeing the real estate market perform well. A lot of that, I think, is driven by foreign capital. You're seeing retail spending doing well. I think that's probably tourists. So I think that in general, it's not a manufacturing global demand led economy. It's more of a domestic economy, and that shows up in how strong the services PMI is, which is basically a domestic-oriented index.
Bob Cinch, your charm as you look across assets. Take us over the equity markets, the VIX under 13, the Dow 15,639. What does the Bob Cinch world of foreign exchange and bond dynamics, how is that signaled or expressed in the equity market? Is it just up, up, and away forever with the Bernanke support underneath the market?
Well, what was that line from that old movie when they tried to get the Marine to drop out? And he says, "I got no place else to go." And I think that's what we're seeing in global markets. You know, equities continue to provide relatively attractive yields. Liquidity is abundant. Financial conditions quite easy. We talked earlier in the session that the U.S. Financial Conditions Index, the Bloomberg Index, actually reaching a record high since it was introduced today. So I think there is a lot of liquidity. This disinflation environment remains constructive for financial liquidity to continue.
You've been doing this since just after the Civil War. Does it signal to you that our listeners can invest with some form of confidence, given this support in this odd economics that is helping out markets?
I think it is a constructive environment. When you see significant corrections in asset prices, generally is when you see a tightening of liquidity conditions. And this whiff of disinflation around the world, as I said, I think it's going to keep the central banks from certainly tightening liquidity conditions. And again, I think in a lot of emerging markets, open up the opportunity for perhaps a bit more stimulus and a bit more growth. And I think that's constructive also for earnings and equities.
Bob Cinch.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.